Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Oh, yes, I think I need my music for the next topic. Hold on. Here we go. I tell you what, it's been a long time since I've been to the circus. A long, long time. But the reason I wanted to mention the circus today, because circus families, I know we might have forgotten about them, because we haven't seen a circus in so long. And they have been unfairly treated when it comes to COVID-19 supports. And this is according to David Duffy from Duffy's Circus. And he joins me this afternoon. David, good afternoon to you.
Hi, good afternoon, Niall. Thanks for having me.
Very traditional music in the background there, isn't it? I don't know where that comes from. And if circuses actually use that music anymore, do they?
It's called Entry of the Gladiators.
Oh, right, okay. It's quite traditional, isn't it?
It is a great traditional, yeah.
By the way, before we get into this, David, I'm just curious, when did the circus originally start? I mean, what is the history behind the circus?
Well, the history behind circus in general, it was started by a British cavalry officer by the name of Philip Astley in London many centuries ago. And then about 50, 60 years after that, then a very, very distant relative of mine decided to go off and run away and join a circus in England. Enjoyed it so much, and then he came back and started his own circus over here, and that was the start of the Duffy Circus dynasty.
And then you have all the famous families around the world. Of course, Barnum's was the big circus at one stage many, 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 many moons ago. And here in Ireland, we all know Duffy's, of course, has been famous in this country for a long, long time, Duffy's Circus. And David, you being a Duffy yourself, obviously have a very vested interest, but none of us have seen a circus in over a year, obviously. And the biggest problem you have is that there's a sense, well, I know I'm going to talk to Pat or Toby from Ain Too in a few minutes ago, but he talks about this snobbery or this attitude that you're excluded as far as the revenue commissioners are concerned because your circus doesn't have a premises because you're on the move, essentially.
Yep, that's exactly right. We have been excluded by name from the CRSS. I think us and Funfairs were the only ones that were actually specifically mentioned. And as you say, it is because of the fact that we don't work from a public-facing building. My ask to the government, and it's not just my ask, Niall, in The Life Worth Living, which was the report of the Arts and Culture Recovery Task Force, one of their main asks was for the government to come up with an alternative scheme to the CRSS, which, along with us, as I say, and Funfairs and everybody, all my colleagues in the Event Industry Alliance, we're all in the same situation.
Because, I'm assuming you still have some level of maintenance costs, even though you're closed currently at the moment. Your staff, obviously, I don't know how many staff you employ, David, or many people work with the circus. But I'm assuming some of them would be on a PP or a PUP payment, but others may not. I mean, how does that work out for them?
After we were closed, which was 13 months ago, Niall, all our artists came back to us to our winter base here in Navan. We travelled normally with a company of 60 people, and most of them were here with us for many months. So we were looking after them, and they stayed here with us until we could get them back to their homes, because they were from 11 different countries. So now there's only a small amount of staff here. But of course, we have bills every week, like everybody else. You know, we've had to put obviously the banks on hold, obviously business loans. Mm-hmm.
The equipment is not cheap. I mean, a circus tent in itself is, which I'm sure has to be replaced on a regular basis, is not cheap. And I'm sure when you're purchasing big things like that, you would have to borrow money to do so. That money still has to be paid back.
Yeah. I mean, what happened really, Niall, was, if ever COVID was to happen, and there was never a right time for it to happen, but when it did break out, it hit us at our most vulnerable time, because like other circuses, we'd been closed for our winter months, November, December and January. And normally through that time, we would use the reserves that we would have from the season prior to that to get ourselves back on the road. So, yeah. You're looking at a figure of around 150,000 euro by the time we get everything tested. Upgrading our equipment and then obviously getting our artists in with visas and flights.
And your vehicles, of course, you have many vehicles on the road as well, obviously.
Yeah.
To carry all this equipment, that all has to be maintained as well. So, I mean, there is a huge amount of expense in it.
We have 30 vehicles here that have to be obviously tested, taxed and insured. And we only got 3 weeks last year until we were closed down. We were closed down. The government told us to close because of the public health risk. So, of course, we did. But after 13 months now being continuously told to stay closed and being continuously told that we don't qualify for any business support schemes, it's getting a little bit desperate at this stage.
Can I mention, it's not just yourself, David. There's the fairgrounds as well, which we've seen on a regular basis popping up in areas. Those industries are very badly affected by this too, in a similar situation, because they don't qualify either.
Huge, huge, Niall. And I say, not only like the funfair industry, but as I said, everybody in the event, I mean, the event industry organisers, you know, the crew, the lighting technicians, sound technicians, everybody involved in the event industry, they're all in the same situation.
Okay, well, stay there for a second, because Pat O'Tobin joins me from Aintu as well, who has made representations to the Department of Finance and Culture and Arts. Pat, you described this as snobbery, and it really seems to be nothing more than that, Pat, is snobbery, just because you don't have a premises.
Yeah, look, I make the point in this is that the circus is probably the most successful performance art sector in the country. So most of your listeners will have been to a circus. Now, there's probably no other performance arts that exists that the majority of your listeners can say the same thing about. The circus goes to all the towns in the country, and it's...
We've all brought our children to a circus, absolutely.
Exactly,
yeah.
And it actually washes its face financially as well, normally. So it stands by itself economically, unlike most of the performance arts sector, which usually has to have some level of financial support from the state. So it's been around since the 1850s at the very least. It's part of the heritage of the country. UNESCO are actually going to recognise circuses as a significant and valuable part of Irish heritage, and in the same way that Newgrange would be. And yet we have a minister for culture, Catherine Martin, a Green minister, who doesn't see the same value within it and is refusing to make sure that this particular business can actually survive.
And what is the reason for what you describe as snobbery? What is the reason for this? Apart from this stipulation that you to get the up to $5,000 a week, this is from the COVID restriction support scheme, that you must have a premises. Is there some sort of reason for that? Because there are many businesses that don't have a premises.
Yeah, so basically, again, the mind boggles why the government brought about this stipulation. The government should have said any business that is suffering because of the restrictions will be supported. You know, the idea that a government can come along and put somebody out of business, take their living from them, and then stuff them with regard to any income is wrong. So why they created this particular rule, I don't know. And indeed, lots of other sectors were initially caught out in this. People like taxi drivers, people like barristers, for example, who didn't operate out of offices but out of the King's Inn. And most of those have had some level of rollback and some level of support now by the government. Here in this area, there is the Arts Council, who have hundreds of millions of euros to hand out to arts organisations. And I've been asking dozens of questions of the Arts Council, and they keep refusing to include the circuses. But even
the artists there, some of the bands there recently, we've seen a list in the paper there, the Irish Independent, going back a few months ago. There was a grant made available for those who wanted to release albums or produce new music in relation to artists who obviously can't play live at the moment. And many of the artists were given, a grant of a few grand or whatever it was. So has there been nothing available at all for this section of the arts?
There's been very little outside of the PUP. And there has been very little. And the PUP is obviously for an individual to feed themselves. While the COVID restriction support scheme, the purpose of that is for a business to keep taking over, that it doesn't go bust in this time. And I do think the snobbery here, I do think there's discrimination. I think that there is a circle around governments, what is highbrow performance art. And I think maybe they don't believe that circuses are included in that highbrow performance art, despite the fact that it's actually the most successful performance art. And the fact that UNESCO, it takes an international organization to recognize it for its value. So, you know, I would ask people to not accept this, to get onto their councillors and their TDs, and tell them to cop on, literally. Tell them that they need to get Catherine Martin to change her decision, and that we need to get funding into the sector ASAP, or otherwise it's going to be part of our history.
Well, and this is the concern, David, you've already suggested, you know, and I'm looking here at the press release, you suggested that this, you know, it may be the end of the circus industry as far as you're concerned, because you're not going to be able to survive much longer.
No, we can't. Not after 13 months. And as I say, you know, we've costs every week that, you know, so there's outgoings every week. And now, as I said, if we ever get to the situation that we're allowed to go back on tour, we don't have the capital available to get our equipment and to get ourselves ready to go back.
So in other words, if the government turns around tomorrow and ends the lockdown and says, off you go, you can all open back up again, you have to get all your vehicles maintained, taxed insurance, you have to get your tent maintained or whatever it is that you use, whatever, your generators, etc., etc. And you just don't have the money to do that because you've spent all your savings.
That's exactly it. And as you said, you know, between, you know, insurance and tax and 30 vehicles, public liability, employer's liability, all those.
I'm sure that's quite expensive, by the way, nowadays as well, yeah.
It is huge. I mean, before this, probably insurance would have been probably one of the biggest threats to our business. But now, obviously, COVID has taken its place. I mean, this is the first time in my lifetime, first time in my dad's lifetime, that we have not been out touring at this time of the year. I've never not worked now. In all my life, I've been blessed. I've been lucky. I'm 60 now, and I've never been out of work. But unfortunately, that's the situation I find now, not through my own fault. The government told us to close because of public health risks. Of course we've done that, and we'll stay closed until we're told it's safe to open again. But we can't do it on our own.
You can't do it on your own. And by the way, other businesses around the country are not expected to do it on their own. Because I can tell you now, if the government wasn't bankrolling businesses in this country, people would be out on the streets. And that would be, and Paddy, you know that too. The only reason that people are as compliant as they are, although that's starting to wane a little bit now, particularly when we look at the scenes in the United Kingdom, is because people are being bankrolled. Paddy, it would be fair to say that's the only reason why businesses are being so compliant.
Well, like, there's no doubt, if you take a person's ability to feed their family, put a roof over their family's head, you know, give access to healthcare and education from a family, well, there's no doubt you'd have people on the streets. And, you know, there's this sentence that's used regularly by the government that we're all in this together.
Oh, no.
But that's clearly horse manure.
We're not all in this together. We all know that at this stage. Listen, Pater, thank you very much indeed. And David, I wish you the best of success. I really hope the circus can go back, because I know there's many parents out there who are dying, you know, particularly during the summer months, to bring their little kids to the circus. It's nothing better than sitting in the circus, watching the clowns with your balloon in your hand and your popcorn and everything else. I remember it as a child, and I remember bringing my own children to the circus as well. So I hope that tradition stays with us for a long, long time, and I hope you get the support you need.
Thanks so much. Thanks very much.
All right, listen, thank you very much indeed. And by the way, again, as Pater said, mention it to your own TD that obviously the Minister for Finance, Culture and Arts needs to stop suggesting that circuses are not a viable business or a valuable business in our society. They absolutely are. Let me go to Shane as well. Shane, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Shane? Oh, sorry, Shane, I need to switch you on there. I do apologise, Shane. Sorry, Shane. Go ahead, Shane.
Hi, Niall. How are you?
You're a small business owner?
Yes, I have a martial arts gym, a taekwondo school in Galway.
Okay.
And I'm just getting increasingly frustrated because it looks like the government has cast a really small net for business support. For example,
are you getting any business support?
Absolutely not.
Your line is breaking up there. Just move your head, Shane, a little bit.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. Go ahead, go on.
Yeah, I've managed to keep afloat over the last 12 months by doing online classes, because we've been closed more often than we've been open, like most gyms.
Yeah.
And I've managed to keep things going, you know, earn a bit of a living, and, you know, I'm on top of VAT and paying my rent and, you know, the utilities and all that stuff. But it's getting, there's a drop off month after month after month in the online classes.
Of course, because it's not the same. No, we know
exactly.
That. Yeah.
Like, and I've gone to my accountant, I've gone to my local CD, who seems to be making an effort to helping me. But like even the CRSS, because I'm a rateable business, you have to have a drop of 75% of your turnover to qualify for a monthly support. And it's crazy because I'm at 30%. So I'm almost there.
And that 30% is your few quid for yourself, if you know what I mean. So
not even. Yeah, I haven't paid my mortgage.
What I'm saying to you is that, you know, to sometimes losing 30% of a business will kill you. And it will just put you out of business. So what I'm saying is that they need to look at this for different businesses, depending on your turnover, I suppose. You know what I mean? That drop-off, it plays differently for different businesses.
Correct. I just don't understand how hard it is to have a staggered system even. Let's say they had a certain amount of support for people that turnover was down 75%.
Mm.
Slightly less if your turnover was down 50%. Slightly less if you were down 25 or 30%. But at least it's a wide net. Everybody's getting some help. And you don't have a group of businesses who are getting none at all. You know?
So from your point of view, you'd nearly be better off going out of business to try and get support, which is not something you want to do.
But that's not necessarily the answer either, because like I have a huge amount of children that I work with.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's keeping me sane, being able to interact with them online every week.
And keeping them sane too, yeah.
They have nothing else happening.
Yeah,
so
no, I get it.
Keeping them going. And I'm hearing from so many parents that it is a big help to their children, you know, that they have the interaction with me. So I don't really want to just shut down.
No, look, I think everything, including what you do, drama classes, dance classes, and I know many people around the country are listening, can absolutely empathise with you, who might have a small music class or whatever it happens to be, and they're involved in that type of business where they're dealing with the public on a small level. You're not making massive amounts of money. And you just not are qualifying for this, for the COVID restriction support scheme, because of the amount of money that you're still getting, a small amount of money, be it online or whatever it happens to be. And I just think it's so unfair that all businesses are not being supported equally. It just is wrong. And many of those businesses just won't come back again. That's the problem.
This is the reality of it. And, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, we get the go ahead to reopen soon. I know I put myself in the same grouping as gyms in terms of, you know, the demographics. But hopefully we get some indication soon when we can reopen, because the uncertainty is as bad as anything else, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm sure with your business, by the way, you can easily social distance, because if they're standing on the mat, I remember I used to go to a karate class when I was a kid, you'd be standing a metre or 2 metres apart anyway, probably. If you
absolutely.
Had. Yeah,
I mean, I actually put in a big investment when we reopened last summer into creating a one-way system. So that one class can leave out the fire exit when the next group can wait to come in.
Yeah.
And I have a massive facility, 3,000 square feet.
Right, yeah.
And doing a kind of a hybrid of some classes online, some in person, so that I only had half the numbers in the gym at any time.
Now, look, I hope it works out for you. Listen, Shane, and I hope you get the supports, and just keep knocking on the doors of those politicians. And hopefully Padraig Tobin, by the way, will help in relation to the circuses and many other businesses. And if you know or you are in a business that's not being supported, shout. You need to shout at your local politician.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic.